And you're here tonight, and I trust our being together, you owe to God's grace and for God's glory. Thank God for the value of prayer. I really hold upon God in believing prayer and just see the answers in His own time and in His own way. We are just going to go back then to John chapter 14, shall we? 14th chapter of the Gospel by John. Still looking at these wonderful new things from this particular chapter. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's the first one, a new revelation in verse number 3. If I go, I will come again. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again, and we're quite sure that He's on the way. One time in a convention back in the UK, the dear brother giving the Bible studies in the morning was from South Wales, a dear Mr. Thomas, and he took for a theme John 15, 14, 16, and 17. He said that is the order. You start with 15, go back to 14, and on to 16 and 17. When he came to this third verse of John chapter 14, he said, now I know we're all looking for the Lord to come back at any moment. We're expecting to come back at any moment. So am I. But he said, you know, for myself, I will rather pass through the obstacle of death and have a personal interview with the Lord before the crowd comes home. He said, we all wait till the Lord comes, we all go up, you know, there'll be such a crush. I'd have a personal interview with the Lord. I thought that lovely, and enjoyed looking to see the Lord before the crowd came home. Isn't that lovely to see Him face to face? Now, look, Father, shall we? Down to verse number 6. We get here two new things. We got a new road. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there we got a new relationship unto the Father. Unto the Father. Aren't you glad tonight you are a child of God? And you know Him a living reality in your own life. Not just someone you know in the abstract, someone lives in heaven millions of miles away, but someone who's with you every moment of every day, more intimately now than even the closest earthly tie. Yes, I know according to His body, our lovely Lord is in heaven, but according to His Spirit, He lives in you, and He lives in me every moment of every day. Now, as a child of God, it says in Romans chapter 8, if a child, child and an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. I like that, don't you? If a child, then an heir, and a joint heir with Christ. To me, that is absolutely tremendous. It fills my soul. Because it says also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 that we have become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Just think the very nature of God lives in you and lives in me. Isn't that tremendous truth? And when that truth dawned upon me from Galatians 1 verse number 16, and it pleased the Father to reveal His Son, where? In me. A divine revelation. John Nelson Darwin, his translation, translates it like this, and it pleased the Father to unveil His Son in me. Now, many of us talk about it, we sing about it, but do we really know it experientially? A living reality. And the Lord himself really lives in you, and he lives in me. Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, which is my favorite verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth, he liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In that verse there's a threefold deliverance. There's a deliverance by death. I am crucified with Christ. There's a deliverance by dethronement. It's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. Christ has been enthroned. That means the dethronement of the old self-life. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. When that truth dawned in upon my spirit life, it revolutionized my life completely and my ministry. I've been preaching it theoretically and doctrinally all over the British Isles. Oh, I had. But I did not know it experientially. I knew it as a theory. I knew it as a doctrine. A verse of scripture. But when the Lord took aside the veil and revealed his Son living in me, oh, what a tremendous change. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. We sometimes sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I trust it will become a reality in your life and in my life, day by day and moment by moment. Sometimes sing from the same hymn book, oh, what a salvation is this, that Christ liveth. He liveth where? He liveth in me. Isn't that wonderful? That he becomes the very life of our life. Christ thinking through our thoughts. Christ willing through our wills. Christ looking out through our eyes with compassion upon the multitude. Not just seeing a face of clay, but a soul from Christ suffered and bled and died. Then we know Christ loving through our heart. We say, Lord, love that person through me. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a heart that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a love that burns. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me and help me, Lord, to humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Then Christ speaking through our lips, Christ working through our fingers, Christ walking round in shoe leather. Not I, but Christ in every look and in every action. Your life, my life, are now shining of the indwelling Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, Christ living in and through us experientially, day by day and moment by moment. Isn't that lovely? Now I know many of you here, I trust all of you here, know that a living reality in your life, that he's the very life of your life. To me, that is very precious indeed. Speaking at a Catholic convention some time ago, now don't throw me up for that, but I remember during the interval, a man came up and I found out him to be the secretary of the convention. He said, Brother Basil, I've seen something today I've never seen in my life before. I said, what was that, dear brother? He said, I've been a secret smoker for years. And I said, I never said a word about smoking, did I? He said, my ministry is not a negative, don't do kind of a thing. My ministry is something positive and alive. Says, I know. When you began talking about Christ thinking through the thoughts, willing through the will, so on, when you came down the fingertips and said, Christ working through your fingers, says, immediately, I could never think of his holy, pure life stained with nicotine, and I'll never, never smoke again. And that man never went back to the weeds. Never did. He was delivered right there, because Christ literally lived in him. And because Christ lives in us, we keep our bodies pure and sacred, entirely set apart for himself, don't we? Again, two women
were seen weeping in the aisle of that large auditorium. Someone came up and said, "Brother Basil, will you please go and talk to those two women, see what the problem is?" And say, "Not me. I have enough to do with brethren's problems. I am not touching women's problems." So, "Will you please go and see it wrong?" So I went and said, "Can I help you?" He said, "No, you can't help us anymore. I've hated her for 3 years. She's hated me for 3 years. We haven't spoken for 3 years." So I said, "I never said a word again, right, did I?" He said, "No, but you talk the love life flowing through the heart. Love life can flow through my heart, and I got something against her." She thought the same thing at the same time, and there they were reconciled to one another. See, I just stood there all afternoon, took the wrong of being at loggerheads with one another, a lack of harmony, and so on. Nothing would have happened, but the love light began to flow. And beloved, I don't care what your habit is, nor what your problem may be. Christ alone is the answer. The love light flowing through you and flowing through me is the solution to the problem as the answer to your every question and also to the habit in your life. That's why, again, I'm saying over and over again, it's not more ministry we need. It's not more manpower. It's not more money. Not more new methods or modern music or modern versions. What we do need for the individual believer to fall in love afresh with Jesus Christ. There's something here in my study Bible. Let me tell you a story about this Bible sometime. If I could put my hand on here, a little thing is very, very real to me. Yes, here it is. Very precious. I don't know the author of this, but it came to my heart with tremendous force. A city full of churches, great preachers, lettered men, grand music, choirs and organs. And these all fail. What then? Good workers, eager, earnest, who labor hour by hour. But where, oh where, my brother, is God's almighty power? Refinement, education, they want the very best. Their plans and schemes are perfect. They give themselves no rest. They get the best of talent. They try their uttermost. But what they need, my brother, is God, the Holy Ghost. We may spend time and money and preach from wisdom's lore, but education only will keep the people poor. God wants not worldly wisdom. He seeks no smiles to win. But what is needed, brother, is that we deal with sin. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens the soul. God will not take man worship, nor bow to man's control. No human innovation, no skill or worldly art can give a true repentance or break the sinner's heart. We may have human wisdom, grand singing, great success, maybe fine equipment, but these things do not bless. God wants a pure, clean vessel, anointed lips and true, a man filled with the Holy Spirit to speak his message through. God grant, great God, revive us truly, that we can keep us every day, and may we all acknowledge we live just as we pray. The Lord's hand is not shortened. He still delights to bless. If we depart from evil and all our sins, confess. What a tremendous challenge to your heart, to my heart tonight. I've never known that tale. It's a tremendous heart outpouring from someone in living touch with the living Lord. Now back to your theme. We are partakers of the divine nature. But also, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 4, I read these words, that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We are children, we are heirs of God. Our inheritance is incorruptible, it is death-proof, is undefiled, it's dirt-proof, it fadeth not away, it's decay-proof, reserved in heaven for you
and for me. Oh, just to think tonight that we are inheritors of the kingdom of God, joint heirs with our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. What a wealthy, what a powerful people we should be every moment of every day, recognizing all important truth. Now, giving that before you, go down to verse number 16. Verse number 16. By the way, I thought this meeting started at 7:30 tonight. It's 7:45? 7:45, I see. Right on. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, not another of another kind, but another of the same kind. When he was with them, he was a comforter, and now he's gone away, and he said, I will give you another comforter. And notice this now, that he may abide with you, but alone, forever. That's the greatest verse I know regarding the eternal security of the believer. My friend, he shall be with you forever. Not that some fault or failure of my own, very far from that. Beloved, you'll never leave the temple into which he's come. He's come in, and he's come in forever. That's what it means to be a child of God. Now, something more. Verse number 17. And but the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Do we know him? Do we know him? We know the Father. We know the Son, but do we really know the Holy Spirit? They're co-eternal. They're co-equal in perfection and in power. And there's no jealousy in the Godhead. But we hear a lot about the Father and a lot about the Son. But a little do we hear today about the Holy Spirit himself. Now, this is very, very vital. And this, beloved, is one of the great feelings. Now, C.H. Spurgeon said many years ago that the brethren, had they continued as they started, they'd been the strongest evangelical force in the world. But they began quibbling and quarreling about who they would receive and who they would not receive, and he said they quenched the spirit. And from that day to now, they never seemed to recover. Never seemed to recover. Oh, beloved, the spirit is grieved, quenched in many a heart. And we've got to recognize, acknowledge the spirit. There's one point I want to give you. Recognize the spirit. Recognize his presence. Where? But I'll give you a verse to prove this. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What know ye not? Don't you know? Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. See, Paul is writing to saints that call to those who have been saved and sanctified. And he said, don't you know, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you? And then verse 6 to 9, the Lord said, he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. In you. And tonight, just think, we recognize his presence in your life and in my life. And if you have never got alone with God, dear fellow believer, do it tonight. Do it tonight. And get alone and say, Lord, I know, I recognize my body is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit who is in me. Lord, you said it, and I believe it with all my heart. Make it a living, vital reality in my life. Not by some happy feeling, some strange emotion, some funny little feeling trickling down your spine. Not at all. Taking the Lord at his word. This one, what he said, and what joy will come into your life and into my life too. Now, we come a little farther here. It says,
He shall be with you, and He shall be in you. Remember, in the Old Testament, we find God at work. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, the Son, is at work. But my friends, through the Acts and the Epistles, right through the Revelation, it's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, who delights to make much of our adorable Lord Jesus, to exalt Him and to extol Him. So let us tonight recognize Him. Where? Recognize His presence in your heart and in my heart. And oh, that's very, very present indeed to know that joy. But there's something else. Let us respect His person, because He is the Holy Spirit. Everything that's impure, suggestive, hypocritical, or maketh a lie, will grieve Him. Will grieve Him. Remember, He's the Holy Spirit. Let us respect Him, His person, who lives in us day by day. That means we're going to keep the temple pure to God's praise and to God's glory. And we can't do that in our own strength. As we yield to the indwelling Spirit, He will. He will. Very important to recognize this truth. Anything more? And if we do so, then we shall receive His power. Because it says in Acts 1, verse number 8, and ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That doesn't mean we're going to be finger posts pointing to Christ. Oh no. Your life and my life in the office, in the store, in the lab, in the hospital, in the school, in the college, in the home, my friend, will be a life controlled by the Spirit, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. And people shall recognize Christ in you, recognize Christ in me, and he shall be attracted to our lovely Lord. Now we can't organize that. Oh, we can't arrange it. We are just, we yield to the indwelling Spirit. It really happens. Now look farther, shall we? Along this particular line. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, we read, I beseech, I like that, you know. I beseech, we were talking with the Sand Sisters yesterday, reading from the Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, I beseech you, Odia, and beseech Syndicate. The word beseech means wooing to win. Wooing to win. People tell me Paul was a bachelor. If Paul was a bachelor, he knew an awful lot about women. Oh, he did more than he ought to know, you see. And so he used the word here, the picture of a young man getting down before his young lady and proposing to her and asking her to enter into a matrimonial relationship with him, you see. I said, I beseech, I would woo your Odia, I would woo Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But here, it says in Romans 12, verse number, I beseech you therefore, brethren, those who have been pardoned, those who have the assurance of salvation, those who have been justified, those who have been sanctified. Now he's saying to them in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that ye present, by the mercy of God, ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your intelligent, your rational, your logical service. It's your spiritual worship to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly unto God. Now that does not mean God the Father. He doesn't need a body. He does not mean God the Son. He already has a body. But the Holy Spirit, who needs your body and my body. He indwells, but He wants to infill. He wants to control your body and control my body, moment by moment, day by day. Very important to recognize this truth. Then it says, we know the indwelling, we thank God for it. Very, very precious truth, know the Holy Spirit, and not only been born by the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, indwelt with the Spirit. He's the earnest, He's the seal, He is the anointing. All these come simultaneously for receiving Christ as our Lord and our Savior, angel, they're all ours. But here's a distinct command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And I put it saying, be not drunk with wine, but be being, in the present tense, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a command just as much as breaking bread every Lord's Day, or being baptized by immersion, going to all the world to preach the gospel, is this right here, be being filled with the Spirit. He who indwells me, he longs to infill me. What for? To magnify Christ, to glorify Christ, to make Christ much of, my friend, in your life and through our life, the lives of others. And he can't do that unless he's filling us day by day, moment by moment. It's a distinct command that we should be being filled for the Holy Spirit himself. Now, you know the people, and you know they've agonized, and they've prayed, and they've wept, and they've cried, oh, fill me, fill me, oh, fill me, in the time, fill me. And nothing happened. No, why? They haven't surrendered to him. And you'll never be filled with the Spirit if you surrender to the Holy Spirit. And then the definite, deliberate act, just when you're born again, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. So now, my friend, you'll come and surrender your whole life to the Holy Spirit, who indwells, longs into, and make real, if not, you can become a great preacher. Oh, my friend, great soul winner. No. That's here's going to happen. You're going to leave Christ in the home. You're going to leave Christ in the office. In the business house. Those other places I mentioned just a moment ago. Yes, your life and my life shall be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Men will recognize, but no longer. And everything gives thanks, see? Be sharp, and there'll be a melody in the heart. You'll be submitting one to the other in the fear of the Lord. That's also referred to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, coming back to this, we come to this grand old hymn. Fill now with thy spirit hearts that fools surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Now, I want you to get something into your heart along with my own heart tonight. Again, I'm not speaking down to you. I'm one with you. I love you all very much indeed. It's a joy being with you. But I want to recognize from deep down your own heart the filling of the Holy Spirit is simultaneous in crowning Christ Lord of all in your life. When Christ is Lord in your life, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it can't happen in that way. But if he's not Lord in every compartment and then deep part of the life, then you know nothing at all about the filling of the Holy Spirit. But when you surrender to his authority, then what does he do? He enthrones Christ Lord in your life. And there, my friend, the two go together, Christ the Lord, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit himself, who delights to make real in us all the life of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all to see. Christ only always living. We sing that. I know we mean it, and many times we mean it. I trust all the time we mean it. May I go back over that little line? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all to see. Christ only always living in me. A young lad, when he was 18 months old, his father died, leaving he and his mother all alone in the world. The mother worked very hard to give the boy the best education possible. The brain of the fellow graduated from high school with honors, university, and the School of Medicine, and became one of Britain's leading surgeons, a very clever doctor. But you know, he married into a high social circle, a social status far beyond his own, and he despised his old mother. He told his young lady who became his wife, he's brought up by a faithful nurse, you see, all the time referring to his dear mum, you see. After marrying him, he said to her one day, darling, I feel indebted to faithful Mary. I'd like you to come here and live with us in our home. The attic room is delightfully furnished, and we've got the maids here, they can attend to her. Immediately, the young wife agreed to faithful Mary coming. Oh, yes. See, me women are really nosy, and should hear a lot about the early boyhood of our husband, you see, through the faithful Mary, the nursemaid, you see. Anyway, he sat down and wrote to his mother, told her all this in the letter, not to come and stay, but not be known as his mother, just as faithful Mary. So I got that letter just torn up with a waste paper basket, but now you know what a mother's love is, don't you? A mother go through any privation, through any sorrow, any suffering, just to be near the object of her heart's affection, providing it's a boy. And so, of course, the point is, she wrote back to his office and told her she was only too happy to come and just be known as Mary, Mary, faithful Mary. She never divulged the fact that she was really his mother. They went from the lovely car driving along the highway, off the main highway, up a driveway, to a palatial home standing back there in its own plantation. The butler met them at the door, seated in the reception hall, then the drawing room. Then the gong went for a sumptuous meal. Then up to the attic. Everything spotlessly clean. Linen just like the driven snow. But it was the attic. It was the attic. Two of the maids were very thoughtful and caring, but it was the attic. Something about a cloud overshadowed the home, and happiness entered it, and they couldn't understand why. So one day, a young wife had been out shopping, and she came back, and she always loved to talk to faithful Mary. Feeling to be so understanding, so loving, so thoughtful. She always liked to talk to her. And so she goes rushing upstairs. She drew near the attic door. She overheard her husband addressing his mother as mother for the very first time. She threw herself down to the team and began to cry. You're asked, what's the matter, darling? She said, Harold, why have you deceived me? Why didn't you tell me she was your mother? Had I known it in the very best room in my home, why didn't you tell me? He confessed his sin to her, and together, hand in hand, they went across that little attic room. The girl with a flush of youth upon her face stooped down and dressed the dear old lady as mother. She was brought out, given the right of way. The cloud was removed, happiness restored. The mother got the right of way. Now I'm closing with this. Beloved, tonight, you may say, what a brute of a son. I partially agree with you. But we've got someone indwelling us tonight who is far more sensitive than the mother. That one is the Holy Spirit. Now, which part of our life are we giving him? If you're born again, he's got a place in your heart. Maybe it's a prominent place that he wants the preeminent place. He wants, my friend, not the attic. He wants to be the case of the whole being. Lord over all, blessed forevermore. And isn't he worthy? Lord over our time. Lord over our talent. Lord over our treasure. Lord over all. And that's why we sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all to see. Christ only always living in me. Now, you want an hour for that, don't you? You've had a new revelation. You've had a new road. You've had a new relationship. This a new resident. A new resident. He's come to reside in your heart and mine, but he wants to preside. He doesn't just want to have a place. He wants to have the preeminent place in your life and in my life. Oh, may he have that tonight from your heart. And from my heart, all to God's praise and to God's glory. We're just going to sing a verse of a hymn. I think it's 386. 386. I quoted one verse from it.